Well, praise the Lord. God is good. I am excited about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as always. I'm excited about what he wants me to talk about today. Hallelujah. We got a great, 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 great teaching today. I'm excited. It's a great, great teaching. Yeah, man. We're going to talk about keys to effective prayer. We're going to continue. This is part two, prayer of petition. And I'm telling you, it's time for results.
Amen.
And prayer is the key. That's what causes God's hand to move in our life. So let me pray and we're going to get into it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word today with your people. I thank you that revelation and knowledge is flowing freely, unhindered, and unrestricted by satanic forces or demonic hindrances, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. So let's go ahead and get into this part two. We're going to have two sections today. But today we're going to talk about, as I said, the prayer of petition. We're going to start with section one. I want to do a review of what we did on Thursday real quick, okay? So the simplicity of prayer review. That's what we're going to talk about, the simplicity of prayer, and it's just a review. So the number one, prayer flows from relationship, not performance. We talked about that on Thursday. Prayer flows from relationship and not performance. God already loves you. He knows what you need and invites you to talk to him sincerely. Not with long speeches or religious showmanship, but as a child of God speaking to a loving father. So when you got born again, or when you see Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became born again. You became a child of God. You're just as much of a child of God as Jesus is. God answers your prayers just like he answers Jesus' prayers, because when you pray in the name of Jesus, it's as if Jesus himself is praying the prayer. And I talked about it when it's in the framework of the word of God or the promises that God has provided you through the blood and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right. So Jesus corrected the performance-based prayers. We looked at that. Real prayer is private, sincere, and it's from your heart to the Lord. Okay. All righty. Let's look at Matthew 6, 5 through 8. In Matthew 6, 5 through 8, it says, "And when you pray," this is Jesus speaking, "when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men." He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." So he says, don't do that. Don't get caught up in all that showmanship. And I kind of mentioned some things where, you know, when we went to church as a kid, you know, we saw the deacons get up there and they go through their little rendition, not trying to talk about anyone, but, you know, everyone had their favorite deacon that they liked praying because he prayed in such a way that it just moved them emotionally. And I was saying, I don't know, you know, some were, you know, praying from their heart. I'm sure some probably were not. The point I wanted to make is not to tear them down. They were doing what they did back then. But we got to remember that a lot of people in the congregation, or I said the audience, got caught up in the performance of the prayer. You know, and when I was a kid, I know I did. You know, Deacon So-and-so, no, he showed pray. I have no idea what he talked about. And that made me think that's what prayer was about. About, you know, I got to say things in such a way that people applaud, or, oh, that was a good prayer type thing, instead of just simply praying from my heart. So anyway, let's continue to move on. Second thing I want to point out is this: asking boldly and personally in the name of Jesus. You ask God boldly, you be bold about it. Don't be afraid to be bold. Asking for big stuff. Asking for stuff that you know that you can't get in your own ability, because, you know, that's what he likes. If you can do it, you don't need him anyway. Praise the Lord. God cannot give you what you do not ask for. Asking gives him permission to act. That's important. Asking gives him permission for him to act. God operates on an at-will basis. He doesn't force himself on your will. So he waits for you to ask him for what you desire. Alrighty, let me reset my time here. I didn't do that. So, alrighty, every request made must be rooted in the promises Jesus provided for you through his blood. This is important. This is why a lot of people don't get answers to their prayers, because they don't understand their prayers are not rooted in the provisions of God's, of the promises in Christ Jesus. And a lot of people don't know what they are. And as a man of God, it is my responsibility to show you who you are, what Jesus has provided for you, because that's what it means to live by faith. New Testament faith is based on what Jesus has done for us, and we live by it by faith. So you don't know what it is, then you can't even live by it or even make requests, because you have a right. You know, his blood has purchased, you have benefits and rights because of what the blood has purchased you. But if you don't know what your divine rights in Christ are, you know, the enemy can talk you out of it, and you can live a life of struggle because no one really rooted you in the knowledge of what Jesus has done for you and what your benefits are. Israel had covenant benefits. Jesus did everything based on the covenants that they had back then. He actually operated on the covenant of mercy. Mercy is a part of God's covenant. And the blood of Jesus gives us a better covenant. Jesus's blood is a better, is sealed by his blood, which is a better covenant than bulls and goats. You understand what I'm saying? So if you're not rooted into that and understand it and believe it in your heart, you'll go through life struggling, and you don't have to. And religious people will, that's influenced by lying demons and devils and religious demons and devils, will have you struggling in things, and you don't have to. God will get involved in your life because he's your father and he's got a covenant with you. So asking is required. The blessings of God doesn't fall on us like ripe cherries on the tree. You get it yourself in a problem or a pickle and you don't go to God and ask for help. He wants to help, but he'll see you struggle. Why? Because, you know, pride won't ask for help. Okay, let me move on. God cannot give you what you don't ask for. Asking gives him permission to act in your life. As I was saying, God operates on a at-will basis. He will not violate our will. So if we don't will for him to help us, he ain't. He's not going to do it. Your personal desires matter. I don't care what nobody tell you. Your personal desires matter. He cares about what you care about. It's important. And as I said, when it comes to the work of the ministry, your personal matters don't matter. your personal cares don't matter. Because we're doing the work of Jesus, and Jesus tells us what to do. He gives us our assignment. Okay. So you just can't believe anything you want to believe when you're doing the work of Jesus. Jesus tells you what to believe, and he tells you what to do, and he gives you an assignment. He says, I don't want you to do that. That's for somebody else to do. But if you're trying to do the work of the Holy Ghost and doing everything, Jesus said, I only do what I hear my Father do, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father doing. That means he was letting the Holy Spirit direct his actions in his earthly ministry. And so people that are doing what they want to do are in the flesh. They're in their soul. They're being driven, and they're not being led by the Holy Spirit, trying to do a lot of nice things. There's a lot of people doing a lot of nice things that God never told them to do. That's why Jesus is going to say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. I never told you to do that. Well, didn't we not do this in your name? No, he says, you never knew me. You were driven to do it. And the devil will drive you to do things based on your good heart towards the Lord. And so when you don't have a good-hearted, pure relationship with the Lord, you'll just do anything in the name of trying to help people in the name of the Lord. And sometimes you're hurting people instead of helping people because you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's move on. Your personal desires matter. You must believe that our Father cares about what you care about. Do you understand that? So as I said, we're talking about our personal desires in this teaching. Ministry is a separate teaching as far as prayer. Prayer and ministry is different from personal prayers. But as I said, if you don't know how to believe God for your personal prayers, you're not going to be able to believe God for ministry desires that you need to pray to God so it can come to pass. And there's a lot of warfare prayer that's in doing the work of God in ministry prayer. Okay. Praise the Lord. Y'all get that? Okay. So what's important is that we get what God has provided for us. All right. Continue on about asking boldly and personally in the name of Jesus. In James 4:2, it says, you lust, mean that you desire, and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have. Look what it says here. Because you do not believe. I mean, excuse me, you do not ask. So people that are envious and jealous and is because they don't know how to ask for the Lord, ask for what they want in prayer, and believe that God will give it for them. So that's where a lot of the wars and all that come from. He also says, when you ask amiss, that you might hoard it up on your lust. So one of the things that will stop your prayers from getting answered is if your motive isn't pure. You understand what I'm saying? Here's a nugget I want to throw out. If you've been believing God for something and it hasn't come to pass, say, Lord, is there something in my heart that's hindering you from answering my prayer? Say that again. If there's something in your life that's not coming to pass, you've been waiting for, you may want to ask the Lord and say, Lord, is there something in my heart that's hindering my prayer from coming to pass? And if it is, he'll tell you. And once you allow him to deal with that, and then you'll start seeing manifestation. Is that making sense to you? All righty. So in John 16, 23, 24, it reads, and in that day, Jesus was talking about in the day that he goes to the cross to be offered up as the sacrifice for all of humanity. So now we're in that day. He's already been raised up, and all we got to do is tell people about him, and he'll cause people to come and hear about him. And in that day, he says, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, this is Jesus talking again, most assuredly I say to you, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he might give it to you. It didn't say he might give it to you. Oh, he may give it to you. He may give it to you. May is a permission word. Mother, may I? May is a permission word. He may give it to you. So that means if you don't ask in Jesus' name, he may not give it to you. But if you ask in Jesus' name, he will give it to you. So he goes on to say, until now you have asked me nothing. You've asked nothing in my name. How many people that, and I'm going to teach what it means, I think I get into this a little bit in this teaching, what it means to ask in Jesus' name. It's not just saying in Jesus' name. It's understanding that God honors that name, that authority, what that name, huh? You gonna help me? what that name carries, the authority and the weight of that name. You're asking based on what Jesus has done through his death, burial, and resurrection. You're asking based on what the blood has purchased. See what I'm saying? Amen. It's not just, you know, a Lucky's rabbit foot type thing in the name of Jesus. People say in the name of Jesus. Do you really understand what that means? So, all righty. Praise the Lord. You have to believe in what Jesus has done for you to get answers from God to you. All righty. The third thing I want to point out is pour out your heart with honesty before God. Pour out your heart with honesty before God. That is absolutely vital. The Lord taught me this. He spoke something to me 3 years ago and said, I like honest faith. And I like, what do you mean by honest faith, Lord? I like honest. I want you to be honest with me. If you're struggling, tell me. Don't pretend to believe when you don't. There's a man that came to get his daughter healed. Jairus? I'm talking about the one that came to get his son healed. And he asked Jesus to help him. And when he asked Jesus to help him, he said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And when he said that, he started with, "Lord, if you can do anything, if you can do anything, help us." You remember that? And so that's in Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I brought my hammer today. I got my hammer. Let's take a look at that real quick. I'm going to put that on the screen once I get it up here. And I want us to look at that. We're going to look at verse 9 of Mark. Or chapter 9, forgive me. Mark chapter 9. Praise the Lord. And I think we're going to start at verse. I'm going to start at verse 19. Let me put this on the screen up here for you. Praise the Lord. So, he says here, verse 19, and he answered and said, "O faithless generation," this was Jesus saying, "what are you talking to my disciples about?" They were talking to the religious leaders. This is important when it comes to praying and getting answers to your prayers or coming to Jesus, right? People that debate the word don't have faith. And debating will affect your faith life. That's why it's important to not tell everybody what you're praying. You have faith unto yourself. And you go to Jesus and you ask Jesus, you know, you're asking God in the name of Jesus so that his will can be done in your life. But anyway, that's where this is, in context, that's why he was saying, "Oh, you faithless generation." You know, his disciples could not operate in the power that Jesus had given them because they were sitting around debating. And that debating affected their faith and their ability to flow. See, debating is like not walking in love. And you're not walking in the love that Jesus has provided you or God has provided you. So it short circuits your faith. So anyway, in verse 19, it says, and he answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you?" I mean, he has to go to the cross so he can sprinkle his blood on the mercy seat. "How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Verse 20, it says, and they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth, right? So look what it says here. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood." So this was a childhood issue that he was struggling with. "And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him." I wonder why this spirit wants to destroy this little kid's life. He probably, most likely I know that child has a destiny in God. But if you can do anything, look what he says here. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help him. Help us. And look at that Jesus' answer. He said to him, if you can believe, if he can believe what? If he can believe that God can do anything. See, he has to believe first. You got to believe first. Without faith, God can't move. That's the law of heaven. Faith is the law of heaven. So that's why the devil fights your faith so much. He says, if you can believe, look what he says, all things are possible to him who believes. Now look at this. This is where the Lord taught me about honest faith. Be honest with me. And I want to go back and say where it says in verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone can believe, all things are possible who believes. The man was looking at Jesus when he asked that question, right? So what this is implying, what Jesus was implying is this. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes in Jesus. God gave Jesus, and whosoever believeth in him, John 3:16, whosoever believeth in Jesus shall not perish. Our faith must be in Jesus under the new covenant. And Jesus was the Messiah. Glory to God. And I don't care what the devil say, he's a liar. Jesus is the Messiah. So all things are possible under the new covenant to him that believes in Jesus. You get that? All righty. 24 says, immediately he cried out. The father child cried out and said with tears. You see that? "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." I wonder where his unbelief came from. It came from sitting around listening to people debate the word. He didn't know what to believe. Reverend so-and-so said this. Reverend, he don't know what he's saying. Don't know what he's talking about, said that. And the disciples trying to debate the scriptures. Although Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the healer. He can do anything. Well, I don't know. I don't believe that. I don't believe Jesus. Because I believe, like now, this is what they say. Well, I believe healing was done away with. I don't believe, you know. See what I'm saying? And so it got this father that was seeking help from his child to doubt. He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. See, his unbelief was all that junk that was getting in his heart, and he wasn't sure. Because nothing happened when he went and brought him to his disciples. Okay? So get what that's saying here. So that's what the Lord told me with that verse 24. He said, I believe. Then he said, help my unbelief. And that's when the Lord said, I like honest faith. Tell me how you feel. Tell me what you think, and tell me what you believe in. Tell me, Lord, I'm struggling with this. I'm not sure if you're going to do it for me. I mean, I really want you to. I believe, but I need some help. See what I'm saying? That's all you got to say is, Lord, I'm not sure. And look what happened here. When Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit and said to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Now that's Jesus operating in his authority. I don't want to talk about that, but he says, then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, you know. And then I'm going to stop right there. I want you to see something in 26 and 27 as we understand this prayer, simplicity of prayer. A lot of times when you pray for something, things start going backwards. That's the enemy trying to get you to doubt it. He's mad. He's got to come out. So he'll throw a hissy fit. Don't get caught up in the devil's hissy fit. Just don't get now. Don't get. It is so in the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't care how much hissy fit you have and want to throw things around and throw this problem at me and get. No. It is so. In fact, you're going to fix this too. You understand what I'm saying? So don't get discouraged when things go backwards initially. That ain't nothing but the devil throwing a hissy fit. What are you doing? He's throwing a hissy fit because he got to give up the goods. He got to let the blessing of God flow in your life. All right, so we looked at Hannah. All right, let me get this down here. Praise the Lord. That bless you?
Yeah.
All right. So I talked about, again, honest prayer. I looked at Hannah, how Hannah, effective prayer happened when she spoke from her heart, venting. This is another scripture the Lord gave me, and it touched my heart. That's why I like this one so much. Grieving. So she was venting, grieving, expressing frustration. I put two S's there. If need be. So when you have effective prayer, are sharing and being honest with God, sometimes you have to vent, you'll grieve, you'll express frustration if necessary, trusting that God cares deeply. Responds with mercy and grants your godly desires. And I put godly desires. So sometimes you will vent, you will grieve. You have to express your frustration if need be. Out of respect. Lord, I'm just, Lord, look. Yeah, that is a part of casting your cares. See, got it. You can't cast your cares if you're not being honest with God, telling him how you feel. See, it's all scripture. So we got to be careful when we hear people preach faith and go, well, just believe God. Faith is a process. Trust is a process. When you start learning how to do this, it's a process. That's why we go from faith to faith. You start on a smaller level. You trust him. You trust him with a headache or a toothache. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to full-blown trust him for a brand new liver and you ain't never believed him for a toothache? It ain't going to work. He killed Saul. I mean, David killed the giant after he first progressed to that point. I killed a bear. I killed a lion. Glory to God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Glory to God. It's a process. Trust is a process. Faith is developed over time. That's why we look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher, meaning the developer of our faith. That's what this whole ministry is based on, looking to Jesus to help us. Oh, I felt that by the Spirit of God. This ministry is based on looking to Jesus to help us. I can't do what he wants me to do. I can't do anything except for trust God to do it. So, important note, venting in private, vent in private, come out smiling. That's important. You know, if you don't vent, you're going to vent to somebody. Learn to vent to God and come out smiling. And when you vent, You'll get into that fellowship with him, and it's amazing how it works. Anyway, some people teach against venting to God. I don't. I've learned to vent my frustrations with things in my life before God. This helps me stay in godly character before people, before men. Important. Don't try to hold it in. I don't have many people that I call when I have a problem. A lot of times I call my dad, my real dad. You know, I call my real dad when I'm really going through something that's really shambled up a little bit. And he's cool, man. He'll tell me some things. That's my real dad. I mean, he ain't a preacher, but he's a man of God and he loves Jesus. And he's my father. And God brought me into the earth through his loins. So he has spiritual things imparting to me. So I listen. He says some powerful things to me that no preacher have said. One of the things he said this to me that absolutely changed my life. He said, son, there's levels to this. There's levels to this. I said, whoa. Yeah, I felt that by the Spirit of God. God wants to show you, son, that he loves you. That come from my real dad. Birth dad. I mean, physical blood dad. Larry James Folsom, senior dad. Praise the Lord. All righty. We're about 22 minutes in. We got to move on to section. So again, you pour out your heart. Let's look at these scriptures. I'm reading real quick. In Psalm 62:8, it says, trust the Lord with all, trust him at all times, you people. This is scriptural I'm teaching. I mean, I hate, I have to say it. A lot of, there were some scriptural things that was unscriptural in the faith messages. It says, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So it is scriptural to vent or pour your heart out to him. Psalms 142, 1 through 2. Do it in private and then you'll come out smiling. I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint. What did I say? Well, don't complain to God. Show down, Larry. That's the stuff that irritates me as a teacher. You're not in the book if you teach that to people. It says, I poured out my complaint before him. Not to another man, if you don't learn how to vent to God, you're going to get in your flesh and you're going to vent to people.
Yeah.
And you're going to say things that you don't need to say. I'm teaching right.
Yes, you're right.
I declare before him my troubles. I declare to him before him my troubles. Instead, you want to go talk to people about your troubles. Go close the door and talk to the Lord and come out smiling. Everything going to be all right. I hurt from God. I let God. I didn't dump this problem on God. I didn't roll all my care off on him.
Amen.
For he cares for me. He cares about my problems.
Yes, he does.
God likes honest faith. So don't ever put, what I'm trying to say there. Never mind. I don't even know what I'm saying. Let's go to the next scripture. what I'm trying to say there. Forgive me. I got that all jumbled up. All righty. Section two, understanding prayers of petition. Section 2, Understanding Prayer as a Petition. Yeah, I know. I hear you saying, that boy turned out to be a pretty good pastor. I told you I was called. Had a gun in my mouth when he called me, ready to kill myself. If you eat better, you become better.
Amen.
You got to eat better to be better, baby. Ain't that right, Mom? That's good nourishment. You got to get some good nourishment. You feed on Jesus, you're going to be strong in Jesus. If you feed on Jesus, I said you're going to be strong in Jesus. I just feed on the bread of life. All righty. Let's start with the working definition of a petition from the Webster's Dictionary. I don't try to be deep here. God knows we speak English, so he speaks in the language that we can understand. So let's go with the working definition of petition. A petition is a formal written request made to an authority. Jesus is the authority. God is the authority of all. Usually signed or present to ask for a specific action, decision, or change. That makes sense to you? A petition. You know, a lot of times voters get a petition together to put something on the ballot to be law, or for them to vote on to make it a law. Mm-hmm. Operating in our civic duty. Alrighty. So now, from a biblical perspective, a prayer of petition is a prayer where you ask God for a specific need, desire, or request, comma, according to his word, and in the name of Jesus, are based on what Jesus has done for you, because of what Jesus has done for you, because of the blood, are based on your benefits and rights in Christ Jesus. Alrighty? As a child of God, as a born-again believer, saved, you have certain biblical rights, or heavenly divine rights in Christ. Sinners don't. But we can still intercede for sinners and pray and intercede mercy and grace over their life, mm-hmm, to draw them to Christ so that they can get saved and get all the benefits. He'll still heal people, because the reason he'll heal them is because that is to draw them. It's like the dinner bell. Ooh, come to Jesus. All righty. Praise the Lord. John 16:23-24 reads, and in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I know we read that before, but I want to look at it again. I say to you, whatsoever we ask the Father in my name, you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, 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 and your joy may be full. I did that teaching on you are the joy of the Lord, entering into the joy of the Lord. We are God's joy. So when we get answers to our prayers, it actually brings God joy, seeing us enjoying the benefits of his answered prayer. Ah! Y'all like that? That's good stuff there, man. I ask in Jesus' name, meaning to ask in Jesus' name means you're coming to the Father on the basis of Jesus' finished work. You are presenting your request as a child of God that has been authorized, empowered, and invited to use that name that is above every name. And you are making a heavenly withdrawal on your birthright benefits. Oh, man. Glory to God. That, man. Birthright benefits. Get that in your spirit. I'm going to say that again. Birthright benefits. That's what an inheritance is. An inheritance is birthright benefits. Glory to God. Hey, man, right now, I'm teaching Jesus to you. I ain't teaching church to you. You are the church. Amen. And you got benefits as your birthrights. You got born again, you got benefits. But as long as you're a child, you can't get those benefits. But when you grow up and realize, wait a minute, I'm of age and I got some birthright benefits. Glory to God. Man, you know what? I don't like the devil. But if I was the devil, I'd try to shut this church down too. But he can't. You can't, Mr. Devil. See, he don't want nobody to know this stuff. He wants you to stay church. No faith in your birthright benefits. Too late, Mr. Devil. Get out. I ain't gonna let this stop from growing and overflowing. Well, I know you don't want nobody to know this, but I'm gonna keep pushing this thing out. Amen. And people get it. They getting it. They getting it. And I'm starting to understand what Pastor Larry teaching. Yeah. You got birthright benefits. Man, just think about that for a minute. So those birthright benefits, you're making a heavenly withdrawal on it. See, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So we're on his account. We're on his credit account. Everything is based on Jesus' account. Mm-hmm. His blood is the surety of a better covenant.
Yes.
Come on, I'm teaching good. You better listen. His blood is the surety. What is a surety? It's a cosigner that guarantees. It's the guaranteement. It ain't based on our righteousness. God is not answering our prayer based on our righteousness. He's answering the prayer based on Jesus' righteousness and the blood that he paid for us to come into union with him and be righteous before God because of his blood. Man. That's why you can mess up. And you can go ask God to help your mess. Lord, I messed up. I need help. I come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain help and find mercy for my mess. Woo, 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 woo. Mercy for my mess. I need some mercy for my mess. When you say my mess, you're acknowledging I did it. I messed up. I was a dum-dum. You just got to say it. I was a dum-dum. Confess your faults, and he's faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and then he ain't going to leave you out there to suffer. Then he's going to fix the problem. There's a show, I don't even want to use that, but he's going to clean up your mess.
Yeah, he is.
He's going to wipe it off the records.
Yep.
He's going to expunge it like it never happened.
Hallelujah.
That's what our salvation is about.
It is.
That's why he'll heal your body. If you say, I didn't treat it right. I didn't treat it like the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm not eating healthy. I'm not eating right. I did it. I ate too much junk. I knew better. I just, help me, Lord. Help me. Praise the Lord. This is good preaching and teaching today. Praise the Lord. Is that helping y'all?
Yes, it is.
Man, that's good stuff, man. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious. Be worried. Don't be anxious for nothing. Don't be worried for nothing.
Amen.
Don't have no anxiety or worry about any problem once you have prayed to God for help. Refuse to worry about it once you cast that care to him.
Amen.
You know, the devil tried to attack my mind. I could care less. You know, I could care less. I like the man in the moon. I could care less. Like, ain't no man in the moon. Exactly. Did you figure that out? Devil don't like to hear talk like that. Then start saying, you know what, Lord, good, Satan. He's a good, he's faithful.
Yes, he is.
He's you mad because he's faithful. Hallelujah. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, look what it says, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made to God. The word supplication here means petition. And we're talking about understanding prayer as a petition. So you write down your prayer, and it now becomes a petition. It's a specific request for whatever you need or desire. Why thanksgiving? Because we know that we're going to get it.
Amen.
That's why you come before his gates with thanksgiving. And praise. Because I know the judge is going to rule in my favor. Why? I got some inside information. I got the blood on my side. Huh? Watch this. The judge of the universe is my father. The defense attorney is my brother, Jesus. And All I have to do is testify of what the blood of my Jesus, the blood of my brother Jesus did for me, and God's going to acquit me. You get that? All you got to do is confess what the blood of Jesus has done for you, and God's going to acquit you. You can't lose. Hold fast to the confession of your faith in what Jesus has done for you through the blood. And the devil can't cross that bloodline. And then you tell him, and yeah, I did it, Lord, but he made me. Who? The devil. The devil made me do it. I was born in the sin and shaped in iniquity. I'm trying, God. In fact, I bind every demon and devil that's been trying to pull me back. See, you got to learn how to pray. And say, no, Satan, you the one that sinned from the beginning. You the one that found iniquity was found in you and was cast down to the earth to cause problem among humanity. Mm-hmm. You the problem. Not me. I'm not guilty. Lord, I confess. I confess. I sinned against heaven. I plead mercy. I plead the blood. Help me. Take that scripture. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You said you made a covenant, Father God, to circumcise my heart. Get it out of my heart, and I'll never do it again. God says, ruling has been, a verdict has been ruled. Bam! He's not guilty by the blood. I'm going to cleanse him. I'm going to circumcise his heart, and he's never going to do it again. Get out, Mr. Devil. Your time is coming. Stop accusing the brothers and sisters of the Lamb. Glory to God. This is good stuff. This is the gospel, y'all. This is the gospel. The good news about what Jesus has done for you. All righty, let me move on. I'm getting too happy up here. 1 John, I get happy all about myself. 1 John 5, 14, 15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. You see that? Confidence. This is your, read it. This is my confidence. Yeah. How are you so confident about this? Watch this. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears me. He hears my case. He got his ear open. Yes, my son, daughter. What? Tell me what the problem is. Well, first of all, Lord, I want to thank you for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord. I praise your holy and righteous name. Thank you, Lord. You're a good God. Yeah. I know. What can I do for you? I'm here to tell you that I messed up. And you said if I confess my faults, you said it, Lord, you will cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Yeah, I said that. Well, I confess and I'm asking for cleansing. And once you cleanse me, I'm also asking for mercy to fix the mess that I messed up. I was a dum-dum. See, that's the guy. Is that he? Okay, yeah, no problem. I'll help you out. Now, that's too, see, now religious people get mad about that. They want to make it harder than that. Well, no, see, you got to understand it. No. Once you confess it, he cleanses it and he helps you. If you're sincere in your heart that you want to change, he's going to help you change. And that's how I changed. When I was struggling when I was young in my marriage, I was sincere. I need you to fix me. I'm messed up inside. And he did it. Wait until I start hanging around all those religious goofballs that want you to suffer through your problems and don't believe in the miracle working power of God, which is the manifested love of God to help you. What do you need a God for that ain't going to help you through your mess? I'm saved. I go and I get repentance, but I got to suffer for the next 20 years for a problem that I did that I confess for it and I'm sorry. That's religion for you. That's religion for you. You're never good enough. You repented. It's over. Praise the Lord. You're not good enough to be a pastor. What the? Where you get that garbage from? Well, see, this person is, you know, you got to understand, see. They done did all this. They paid the price for the anointing. Oh, man, that ain't nothing but a bunch of religious junk. What qualifies you is your willingness to live godly and to teach people to live godly. Teach the book and help the people. Oh, man, I'm getting off into some stuff. Let me move on. Anyway, let's get back to this. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, well, how do we know he hears us? Well, we ask anything according to his will. So if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we won't get it. Oh, it doesn't say we will get it. We will have, we don't have it right now, but we will have the petition. I ain't got it right now, but I will have it. You say that? Yeah, what was that? Remember Pee Wee Herman? I know about me, but what about you? What was that thing he used to do? It was so funny. Hey, wake up. Don't go sleeping here. I know you are, but what about me? I know I am, but what about you? You know what I'm saying? Whatever he used to do. It's the same thing. I don't have it right now, but I will. Amen. I don't have it right now, but I will. See what I'm saying? Why? Because I know he heard me. I got it. See what I'm saying? It's right there. Whatever we ask, we know that we will have the petitions that we ask him for. Mm-hmm. Now, I got in red. This is important. What Jesus has done for us is God's will for us. We'll say it again. What Jesus has done for us is God's will for us. What's the will of God? What Jesus has done for you is God's will for you. If you don't know God's will for you, it's because no one is teaching you what Jesus has done for you.
Amen.
That's so simple. It is simple. You have to go to seminary school and get a theological degree to complicate that simplicity. You got to read a book that thick to figure out the will of God from some theologian or somebody that didn't have, you know. No! What Jesus has done for you is the will of God for you. Praise the Lord. Alrighty. Understanding prayer petitions, scriptures that define the prayer petition. That's what we're looking at. Right? Praise the Lord. I want to give you five keys. We're going to now move to still understanding prayer as a petition. I want to give you five keys, or five key elements of a prayer petition. So, one, it is based on God's word. A prayer petition is based on God's word. You find a promise in scriptures that covers the need, and you present that promise to God and ask him for it. The second thing, it is specific. A prayer petition is specific. It is a specific request to God concerning the promises of what Jesus has provided for you in Scripture. So you don't pray in general terms. You clearly state what you're asking for. So you might have to sit down and take some time thinking about it. Like the boy that was throwing pig slop. And he, the prodigal son. He woke up, but he thought about what he was going to go back and say to his father. He said, I will say. So sometimes you have to think about what you're going to say. Just meditate on it. And God loves it. He already knows what you're meditating on. He goes, okay, yeah. Oh, that's good. I'm waiting for him to come ask me. Three, it is written and remembered. So a prayer petition is written, meaning you must write it down so it can be remembered. So it is written and remembered. A prayer petition is always written down so that you can remember. So it is written and remembered. Many believers write their petitions, date them, and return to them with thanksgiving. So this is important. So the reason you're writing them down and you're remembering them, you write down what it is and you put a date on it. And I'll put a time. I put time. I've learned to put times on mine. And I return to them, you know, periodically to remind God of it and thank him that I have it and tell him I'm patiently waiting for it, because through faith and patience you receive the promises of God. All right, let me move on, because next Thursday in Bible Sunday we're going to talk about that, this aspect of it a little bit more. The fourth thing is, it is made in Jesus's name. Now I'm saying the same thing again, but you got to understand, it's made in Jesus's name. Your authority to ask comes through the finished work of Christ. So you're asking based on the finished work of Christ. It's finished. The fifth thing, it is followed by thanksgiving once you ask. You shift from asking to thinking until the answer manifests. So now you get into what's, I'm going to teach this. You're going to get into what's called warfare, or a good fight of faith. You're going to get into the good fight of faith. All right. So we're going to close here. On, man, I got it done. And yeah, man, thank you, Jesus. On Thursday, I will be sharing with you the 3 steps to prayer success. 3 steps to prayer success. This teaching will give you the practical application of creating a prayer journal, because you need to have a prayer journal, and how to use it as a spiritual weapon to stand against the gates of hell. We still talking about the gates of hell, because I still got volume 2 to talk about, but this is preparing us to learn about volume 2, because volume 2, you need your prayer journal so that you can war and understand how to war with your prayers through volume 2. Woo! Glory to God. Man, God done this, man. I couldn't have figured it out. You know, man. He poured that thing. He opened my top. He said, poured this truth in. He says, I want you to teach this. And like I said, I can see where he wants me to go in the future through teachings. Mm-hmm. So like, just like a prophet can see the future, a teacher can see the teachings in the future. I see the words he want me to teach. You know, I'm about three or four months out, and I can see where the path that he's taking us. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is for people that's really called with an anointing of teaching, the teaching gift. They can see. We can see the word he's walking us out in the future. All right. You will learn how to take possession of your prayer petitions through faith and patience. This is important. You will learn to take possession of your prayer petitions through faith and patience so that you can receive what belongs to you in Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. So you're going to get into what's called a faith fight, because the enemy is going to try to talk you out of it and cause problems. But you got to learn how to stand and fight for what you prayed for to come. You're just learning how to stand in faith until the manifestation comes. Father God, I thank you for this teaching. I thank you that your spirit was here to help me and animate me with joy and to say this in such a fun and happiness. You know, I trust that your people are getting this, Lord. Touch their hearts to really see it. And Father, get them ready for their prayer journals and so that you can show them that you're a God that loves them. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God.